His Master's Voice by Mark Taverner, starring Robert Hardy, Tony Gardner, Amelia Bullmore, and Michael Maloney.
Life is too short for reading The Guardian.
Well, yes, I suppose it is.
I've never read a word you've written in the bloody Guardian. But it's a fair question. Why have I invited you to this interview? Let me put that another way. Why did you apply for the job?
Well, I've always been a fan of the Blue Touch paper.
Hmm?
It's a magazine I admire. I'd love to edit it. You own it. Simple as that.
But you're a Liberal.
Oh, a Liberal Tory.
Damn nonsense. There's no such thing.
Well, that's a point of view, and it deserves to be taken seriously, but when all's said and done, you're looking for a new editor. That means you're not totally happy with things as they are. The Blue Touch paper is so blue that it's lost its touch.
The paper is face first in steaming wombat poo.
Admirably put.
It's not a question of losing its touch, it's losing readers. Why?
Because it's such an unhappy paper.
Hmm?
It's designed for people who positively want to feel neurotically miserable from morning till night. To believe that everything's terrible. People of a certain age who confuse their own arthritis with the collapse of civilization. People who think they're hearing the crack of doom when what they've actually heard is the popping of their own clogs.
So what you're telling me is that Blue Touch is losing readers because they're dying? We've got a marketing strategy targeting dead people.
Partly that, and partly people who positively like being foam-flecked with rage. The paper could give away free foam. People could spray it on their lips when they're reading Melanie Phillips.
All right, so what would you do about it?
Oh, don't worry, Damien. When I'm editor, I'm not changing anything fundamental. The paper will be so true blue, I might print it on blue paper.
I'm glad to hear you say so. Some of us on this side of the house still have real conservative values.
And you need to know you're not alone.
So the paper won't be hugging hooligans?
Certainly not.
And your editorials won't be wind-powered?
No, they won't. My paper will be for people who look at the green agenda and throw up.
Your paper? You seem very confident.
Oh, come on, Damien. I've been political correspondent for 3 years and acting editor for 3 months. I've done damn well, if I say so myself. And his lordship says so, which is more to the point.
And you and his lordship. I mean, I don't believe every filthy bit of gossip in this place.
Well, I know where his body is buried. Every Thursday for 3 years.
You really must want the job very badly. It must be like lying down and somebody drops a rhinoceros off a crane. I must go and vote. So there really is no opposition?
The Guardian's token Tory. Somehow I don't see Lord Milan appointing him.
So you're telling me my paper has to fall in love with David Cameron?
Tough love. Critical, detached love, but basically, yes.
Is he a woofter?
Certainly not. He's a stable, married, conservative English chap.
My readers don't want stuff about mincers, woofters and portillos.
And they won't get it. David Cameron is a robust, masculine Tory. 6'6" in his jackboots. They may be fur-lined jackboots with clown faces on, but even so.
If I give you the job, what's the first thing you do?
A new website campaign. To tell people we're here and we've changed. The Blue Touch for Tories with heart.
Heart?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We're all heart nowadays. Actually, what about the Blue Touch? One heart, one hand, one voice. That'll reassure our Christian readers.
No mention of brain?
This is the Conservative Party, Lord Milan.
The Conservative way. One heart, one hand, one voice, one brain. You don't like it?
Well, can I suggest with all due deference, which is a lot of deference...
Yes?
One brain. You see, there are actually 280,000 members of the Conservative Party. It slightly conjures images of them passing it around.
OK, back burner the brain. Now, one hand.
Yes.
The Blue Touch is the paper for people who do it with one hand?
That is a connotation that hadn't occurred to me.
You know, someone once told me I had the mind of a graffiti artist. I suppose that's why I'm a billionaire newspaper owner. And you're not.
Yes, I expect it is.
Anyway, I'm not having one hand, it's too woofter. The blue touch, one heart, one voice, one penis.
Penis?
Something wrong with it?
Can I, with a sort of abject, grovelling servitude, point you in the direction of elderly readers in Eastbourne?
Back burner the penis.
Lunch isn't what it was, is it?
You mean it doesn't last 4 hours?
Not so much as a glass of doubtful Bulgarian. Anyway, any news? Puffs of smoke.
I'm sorry?
Music, applause, and the winner is... Do we know who our new editor is?
Oh, we've known that for months, haven't we?
The Wicked Witch. I suppose you're right. Oh, good grief, she'll be even more insufferable than she is already.
Giles, I've been here for 20 years. I've seen them come and I've seen them go.
I suppose you have.
Anyway, I'm just the PA. I don't comment on my superiors.
Yes, you do, darling. It's what makes visiting your little nook such a cathartic pleasure. Now, I want your advice. What is it that sticks in the craw about Gordon Brown?
Good question.
Genius at work, darling, don't interrupt. Above all, it's his obsession with policies for hard-working families. As conservatives, let us say a word to hard-working families. Stuff 'em, the self-righteous bastards. What Tories want are policies for the lazy, feckless and legless. The debt-ridden, decadent, dissolute and drunk. In other words, the overwhelming majority of the British people. Now, what do you think? You're right, overwhelming majority is a cliché.
Any chance of this week's leader, Giles?
It's just coming.
Although Giles wants to make some changes to it, don't you? Some quite big changes?
Oh, if I must.
Well, the sooner the better. I'm thinking of having a little champagne reception this evening. In my office, of course, you're both invited.
Darling, charm.
So let's get everything put to bed before then, shall we?
A new leader for a new leader.
Toynbee, I'm going to give you the job.
I'm not actually Polly Toynbee, Lord Miller. It's an easy mistake to make in broad daylight.
You reckon you can sell more of my papers? I'm willing to give it a try.
Well, I'm very honoured. I don't know what to say.
Now, don't worry. Now you're one of my editors, I'll tell you what to say.
Yes, yes, quite. On the question of editorial freedom...
Is that a question?
Well, no, it's not so much a question. It's more an impertinence.
Now, the rules are very simple. Your job is to sell more papers than the previous editor. If you don't, you're fired.
Fine.
And you're going to do it by peddling this Cameron garbage?
Well, yes.
About everybody loving everybody?
That sort of thing, yes.
It'll be the first time one of my papers has said that. Flogging everybody is more our line.
Well, the two aren't mutually exclusive in the Tory party, of course.
All right, we'll give it a go. Nothing goes in the paper without my say-so. Apart from that, you've got a free hand.
Right.
Some letters for you to sign, my lord.
Thanks. Young man, come to a party on my yacht tomorrow. We'll celebrate. Toynbee, good luck. I'll have a steak, blue. The lady will have a duck, dead.
Certainly, sir.
But I've been acting editor for 4 months.
And I'm not saying you've done it badly, but we are losing readers. That's Keith's argument, and he's right.
Keith's
argument is this. The kind of stuff we've been peddling has lost 3 elections. Correct. More to the point, it's lost sales. We're off the pace.
So let me change it.
You're the paper's political commentator. Everybody knows what you think about compassionate conservatism. You're not a very compassionate person. As it happens, neither am I. All right, there was something you wanted very badly and you haven't got it. Happens to everybody except me.
So what do you want me to do?
Your job. Just let everything continue as normal.
Not quite everything. You can forget Thursday afternoons.
Everything will continue as normal. And look on the bright side. He might make a complete cock of it.
Good morning, everyone.
Are you going to give us all a big hug?
I'm prepared to set up a policy review on that one. But just because I'm changing a few things, I don't want anyone to feel inhibited.
I never do.
No, good.
And you can count on my support.
Good, I hope I can count on everyone's support. Ah, Anna, I'm Keith.
I know who you are.
Right, we'll leave you to it. I love firework displays, but not at this hour.
Do sit down. Now, look, I know these things are difficult. I mean, we've all had our disappointments. I've had my disappointments. I once applied for a job on Radio 5 Live, but unfortunately I've got a brain. So I do hope we're going to be able to work together.
The previous editor never changed a word of my copy.
No, no. Well, for the last 3 months, the editor was you, of course. But I just want us to have an exploratory word about this week's political commentary, as written by you, that's all. Now, it's this bit, really. There are growing signs the country is ready for a Conservative government. At least it would be if the party were not led by a man who oozes maple syrup like a soggy waffle.
Yes. And?
Well, now look, now this is in no sense an act of censorship, but I'm not passing it.
You're cutting it!
Anna, let me put it this way. Your piece is straplined, "The Word at Westminster." Is that the word at Westminster?
Is what?
Well, soggy. Or waffle. Is waffle the word at Westminster? Well, yes it is, but be that as it may. We are coming out on ready for a Conservative government. I'm sorry, but in the end, an editor has to edit. Or what am I for?
What a damn good question.
Right. Well, on that note, I've got a lunch party on his lordship's yacht. I suppose that's because I'm the editor and you aren't. This is a magnificent yacht.
There'll be plenty more parties on the yacht, Keith, provided you deliver. Now, what have you got for your first edition?
Well, I've managed to commission a really rather exciting piece.
How exciting.
It's from a leading professor in the field, and I've called it "Can We Live with a Nuclear Iran?"
Can we do what?
I mean, obviously the answer is no.
And he says that?
Well, he ranges far and wide across the arguments. So.
Keith, let me give you a word of advice. If some intellectual git wants to range far and wide, bury the bastard. Somewhere after the opera critic.
An excellent suggestion, Lord Milan.
Teapot, darling.
Keith, an old friend of mine.
It's been so long. Although, never quite long enough, I seem to remember.
What?
Look, what has happened has happened.
Changing my copy has never happened.
You changed my copy when you were acting editor.
That's different. Your copy was absolute rubbish.
And I suppose that's a criterion nowadays. Never used to be. Your predecessor, dear old Brandon, used to get back from lunch and say, "We're short of copy. I need half a page of barely literate muck, and Giles, you're just the useless pillock to write it." I mean, the place was so civilized in those days. Oh, good grief, it smiles.
I am not smiling.
Just pretending, I know. From sport they hurry me to stifle my regret. And when they win a smile from me, they think that I forget.
What?
The key to survival, darling. When you've written half a page of drivel, quote some obscure poetry, and everyone will think you're a mysterious intellectual.
Hi.
Good party, was it?
So good, it's still going on. But when you're an editor, you simply have to tear yourself away.
I'm going to go and rewrite my copy.
Giles, I wanted a word. You know that, obviously, I'm going to be moving the paper on a bit.
Would this be a good moment to start quoting poetry?
Sorry?
Am I being led to the tumbril?
Oh, good grief. No. Giles, I've been thinking. If you have a problem, and please tell me if you think this is fair, it's trying to be taken seriously.
The abiding travail of my life.
So, from now on, this newspaper is going to stop taking you seriously.
Ah.
I want you to write exactly the stuff you've always written, except this time the joke will be deliberate.
Oh, I see.
And I want a name for the column. Charles, would you agree that if there's a word to describe you, that word would be louche? I look at you and I see a professor of louche studies in the University of Life. Is that fair?
It's brutal.
But fair. Now, what do we say we call your column A Word from the Louche? Yes, well, I think the words you're groping for are still in work. Yeah. Good. Excellent.
He seemed a very charming young man.
People are, to me. I wonder why that is.
Because you're a big man, in almost every sense.
Jane. You know, I don't think I've ever been in this position before.
What position is that, darling?
I've appointed an editor, and I don't know whether I want him to succeed or fail.
Why on earth could you want him to fail?
I'm not saying I do. I mean, all right, if he sells papers, I'll give him a bonus and say, well done. But, Jane, do you buy all this caring, compassionate, mewling garbage?
Does garbage mule, my sweet?
It would if I told it to. Now, look at me. I'm a Tory. I pay less tax under Labour than I've ever paid in my life. But I am still a Tory.
You bankroll most of it.
So, do I want to use Blue Touch to see the party taken over by a bunch of moaning minis drooling and drivelling? You see what I mean? It would be fun to see one of these Cameron softies fall right on his fanny.
Keith is not as soft as he looks, Giles.
I had noticed. What led you to this conclusion?
Well, I asked to see him. I mean, I am quite an active member of my local Tory association.
I know. Delivering leaflets. Knocking on the doors of putrefying pond-life working-class voters, rather. How virtuous.
The thing is, Giles, a lot of my fellow members read this paper, and when they heard about Keith's appointment, they were unhappy.
And you told him this? What did he say?
He said he understood there were government-designated happy areas in Manchester, and perhaps they should move there. Well, it wasn't just that. Oh, no, after that, he put his arm round me and said, Katrina, have you ever asked yourself, what is Cameron conservatism? Well, you know, what with jumble sales and watching DVDs of heartbeats.
Better things to do, quite right.
He said, the point is that it looks like a hug, it feels like a hug, but it's really a kick up the arse.
Katrina, can you ask Giles to come in and see me?
The louche obeys, O mighty one.
Well, come on then, Giles. Tell me about Teapot.
I'm not one for gossip.
Well, you're no use to me, then.
Well, rumour has it that he's bigger in some places than in others. More pot than spout, as it were. Hence the nickname.
Right, well, let's file that one away. Charles, am I right in thinking that his lordship's editors are there to be trampled over? Unless you put your foot down early.
Well, you can try, if you think it's wise. I seem to recall an editor did once stand up to him.
What happened?
I think he's one of the pillars holding up the house in Kensington.
You see, in my case, I'm not even sure he wants me to succeed. I think he's looking forward to giving me the boot. Fine. I think the strategy is outward deference, inward steel.
Make it look like a hug when it's a kick up the arse.
That's very well put.
One is a journalist, dear boy.
You know, I've been thinking about my style. Some people say I terrify my editors into submission.
Surely not.
Of course, none of my editors has ever said it.
I should think not.
And you're going to get criticism when you're me. Resented by rivals, envied by pygmies.
And you just let it roll off your spout.
What?
You're back.
Toynbee, would you say I'm a monster with the body of Alien and the personality of Jeremy Clarkson?
The thought is literally unthinkable.
On the other hand...
Although it is important to see the other hand, of course.
Maybe I need to relax a bit. Let genius find its own level and then fire it. Keith, I'm going to leave this week's pepper completely in your hands. You sort out Anna, you sort out these Wessexes at Westminster, and the whole editorial content is down to you.
Right.
I don't want to see the paper, not a word of it, till it's published. Enjoy yourself. Let's have some fun.
Well, thank you for your confidence, and I promise we'll have some fun.
OK, we've got William Hague's piece on Tory foreign policy.
Great.
Do you want to read the opera critic's piece?
No.
The book reviews? Oh, and there's this piece by Wayne Van Buren Stackberger on why we should take America seriously.
Perfectly lovely. Well, as soon as I finish the leader, we can get this show on the road. Thank you, Katrina. Ah, Anna.
Keith?
I've decided to run your piece in full. I'm not altering a line.
Oh.
All the bile, the spleen, the dripping acid will be printed just as you wrote it.
Oh, right. Well, obviously, I'm very pleased.
Then we can but hope it continues.
Good morning, Lord Milan. Your tea?
Thanks.
Well, what do you think?
Listen, I've been on the phone to Singapore, New York and Tokyo since 4 a.m. I haven't looked at the Blue Touch.
Well, lots of people have. I actually saw commuters buying it at the tube station. I can't remember that before.
Oh, so I've done it again. Picked an editor who's a winner.
Yes, I expect it's that. That and the front cover.
Hmm? What about the front cover?
It's a cartoon. All in the best possible taste.
A cartoon? Of what?
Well, it's lightly humorous.
Right. Come on, then. Let's have a look. Hell spells.
Do you need one of your heart tablets?
Get me that Guardian bastard. Get him here now!
What does that say? What does it say?
Law, Order and Tony Blair, Anna Connolly, political commentary.
That is last week's issue. And that is this week's. Read it.
Well, I thought he published your piece just as you wrote it.
Listen. Cameron is not a conservative. Anna Connolly, a loony, speaks.
Ah. Ha, 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 ha. No, 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 that's deplorable, isn't it?
Of course, there is a bright side to all of this. Giles.
You mean, I'm just looking at the contents at the front. Editorial, page one, the louche.
Hmm?
And page four, Anna Connolly, the demented ravings of a bag lady. And Anna, your picture. Well, when I say yours, those eyes are from Bride of Dracula.
Giles! How do you think our proprietor is going to react to this?
It is a very good question.
Do you seriously suppose he's going to tolerate this for one moment? I have a name in Westminster.
At least seven at the last count, I think. No, I'm sure you're right. Actually, I believe our editor has been summoned to the presence as we speak.
And I can tell you exactly what his lordship is saying. Goodbye, Keith. Welcome home, darling Anna.
Yes?
Well, it's a cartoon, and although it's drawn from the back, it is unmistakably...
It is, isn't it?
You.
What am I doing?
You are kneeling before the altar of compassionate conservatism, saying, I repent of my sins.
Do I... Tell me, do I look to you like a repentant sinner?
Not in this light, no.
Anything else strike you about it?
I think it's tasteful, witty...
I am stark bloody naked.
I thought that would emphasise your penitence and humility.
You have just put my bum on the front of one of my own newspapers.
To a certain extent, yes, but it's very restrained. You can only see part of one buttock.
Do you think I got to be a multi-billionaire by debating buttocks?
Well, to judge from some of your newspapers, no, no, no.
You wouldn't think it could get any worse, would you? The editorial. Love changes everything. A personal statement by Lord Milan. I didn't write this.
You did say you wanted no part in the editorial content.
Listen to it. Listen to it. This paper has espoused policies which have alienated our readers and lost three elections for the party we support.
Yes.
No more. From now on, we espouse Cameron. We do not call for flogging, hanging and repatriation. We call for apple trees and honeybees and snow-white turtle doves. I'm not having this crap.
No, no. I mean, to a certain degree, you've already got it, of course. The newsagents all over Britain, as a matter of fact.
Toynbee, you are fired. You are the most fired editor that ever got fired. You will never eat lunch or breakfast, dinner or dog food in this town again. You are the most fired person who ever lived.
I do think repetition could dull a message, don't you?
Get out!
Right.
Lord Milan.
And you can get out.
Right. It's just the World at One want to interview you. As the first newspaper proprietor ever to show a sense of humour about himself. They've been getting emails all morning saying how wonderful it is.
Oh.
And the circulation manager's been on. Sales of this week's Blue Touch look set to break all records since the paper began.
Oh. Right.
And the leader of the Conservative Party says, are you free for lunch?
Right, right. Toynbee, sit down.
But I'm fired, so...
Sit down.
I don't think he'll be needing this chair again.
So sad. Louche for a week, so sad.
I think we can all agree that this week's issue was a fiasco.
But such fun.
And next week, common sense will return.
Oh, there is something so dreadfully common about common sense.
And the old order will be restored.
Ah, I hate to be pompous and hierarchical, but I do rather think that's my chair.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, I think so. I've had a very full and frank discussion with our proprietor. From now on, there will be no playing silly persons with this newspaper. By anybody, including him.
Ah.
Given record sales this week, he's authorised me to consider bonuses.
Oh.
At the editor's discretion. Now, next week's edition. Louche, more of the same.
Delighted.
And next week... Oh, yes, yes. Can somebody dig me out a picture of Swamp Thing?
You've been listening to His Master's Voice by Mark Taverner with Robert Hardy, Tony Gardner, Amelia Bullmore, Michael Maloney, Rachel Atkins, Simon Treves, Beth Chalmers and Eve Webster. The producer was Dawn Ellis.